I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. The only way that would be true is if you've got the Word of God involved and you got the Spirit of God involved. And we do. We're relying completely on the Spirit and the Word. Father, all of us agree together for today, asking for the utterance, asking for what only you can do, Lord, is quickening and revealing the inner man, the outer man, giving answers and direction for today. We do ask for it. We thank you for hearing us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Would you look in 1 Corinthians 10, please? Let's go again to our text. In our series that we've been calling Overcoming Unbelief. We've been on it for a number of weeks now and are nearing the completion, actually, of this series. If this is the first time you're joining us, there are numerous lessons in this series that have already gone before. I encourage you, go to faithschool.org. and look at the series Overcoming Unbelief. Start at lesson one and get caught up with us. You'll get more out of what's happening now and you'll have the whole picture. No charge, there's no cost for it. It's available to you. Our partners make that available. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 5, talking about the first generation of Israelites that God delivered out of Egyptian slavery, verse 5 says, with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And like we'd said before, they were not, God was not pleased with their unbelief and rebellion and disobedience. He was also not pleased in them not going into the promised land. He doesn't change. His will and plan initially was for them to go into the promised land. And so them perishing out there in the desert, going around in circles for 40 years, that didn't please God. He got no pleasure out of that. He didn't enjoy that. But it wasn't his choice. Did you hear that, class?
Yes.
And that's many have not understood. God is not making our choices for us. And whatever choices we make, that affects what kind of life we have. And if you make the wrong choices and you won't repent, you can forfeit God's plan for your life. You can forfeit blessings He wanted you to have. Now, there are a lot of people that don't believe that. They say, oh no, God's sovereign, God's almighty. If He wants something, it's going to happen. Really? Does He not want everybody to be saved? Huh?
Yes.
Then why doesn't the whole world, what, 7-8 billion... get born again today? You're telling me, no, God wants them to be lost for a while longer or ultimately lost? No, no, no. The scripture says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. The way some people tell it, God says, get out of the way, I'm coming through. Right? He blows the door off the hinges. No, He doesn't. I didn't say He couldn't do it. He could, I reckon. But then He wouldn't be Him. No, He says, if you'll open the door, if you'll invite Him in, He'll come in and sup with you and you with Him. There'll be fellowship. If you don't, then the Lord remains outside of your life. It doesn't please Him, but not His choice. Continue reading. He said, these things happened. They're our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they lusted. Don't be idolaters as were some of them, as it's written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play, worshiping those golden calves. And neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Now, this is a specific reference to the case we're studying right now. And here it says that what was connected with them being destroyed of the serpents was what? Tempting Christ. You might say, Christ? Christ hadn't been born yet. Well, let's back up to verse 4. They drank the same spiritual drink. They drank of the spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. Amen. Christ was there. Mm-hmm. You know, the Christ, the Son of God, didn't begin with the birth of the baby in Bethlehem.
Amen.
Right? The Word was God in the beginning, and the Word became flesh. So, the Lord, His involvement with His people, our Master, Jesus we're talking about, the Christ, goes back to creation, goes back to before. And they tempted Him. Now that's King James, and some of that's Old English. And like we had said previously, we might translate this word tempt, these words, to test today. Test. And you see previously here, we read, in Hebrews 3, where he talked about, they tempted me, they proved me. There was a challenging going on. Go with me to Exodus, if you would. I believe it's the 17th chapter. And there's a good example of this. Now, this is New Testament we just got through reading. And he said they were destroyed of serpents because of their tempting the Lord. In Exodus 17, verse 1, all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Zin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. We saw this numerous times. Well, they're out in the desert. But they have seen God provide for them again and again. So at what point, when you run low on water, after you've seen God bring water out of the rock, manna out of the sky, split the Red Sea, on and on and on, at what point do you stop just freaking out in fear and going, we're all going to die, and you realize, hey, we've been here before, mm-hmm. Right? We needed water multiple times, and every time we needed water, help me, class, the Lord, is that right?
Amen.
Got us water, even through ways that nobody would have ever imagined He could do. Out of rock, just sprang forth and rivers flowed. But never did they respond a different way. They always just total fear, total helplessness and hopelessness and, oh God, we're all going to die out here. Oh no, we're out of water. We're all going to die. We're all going to die. We're all going to die. What's the problem with that? By your words, you'll be justified. By your words, you'll be judged. Life and death's in the power of the tongue. What's the danger about saying, we're all going to die out here. We're all going to die out here. We're all going to die out here. What happened eventually? They all died out there. Was it ever God's will for them to die out there?
No.
It was never God's will for them, never His plan. But it wasn't His choice. God's not choosing our words for us and making us say what we say. Is He? God's not forcing us to agree with Him and say His words. You're wise if you do. Right? So this is not just history that has nothing to do with us. Will you be tempted to talk like that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you will. Every one of us. Will you be tempted and pulled that way? Well, sure. You know, when you're in the circumstances, what are we going to do? Where are we going to get the money? How's it going to work? But we must not yield and let that come out of our mouth.
Amen.
Let's learn.
Yes.
Class, right?
Yes.
Let's learn.
Yes.
When you're pushed, when you're pressed, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak.
Amen.
It'll come out like pushing on a sponge, whatever it's full of. And so what you want to do is come to faith school every day.
Amen.
Is that right? And read your Bible and go to a good church and get fed so that when something pushes on you and there's a need and there's an issue and there's a problem and you're tempted to talk fear and unbelief, you go, no, I know better.
Amen.
And you start saying, God's with me. The Lord has brought us through every other time. He'll bring us through this time.
Yes,
see, just me saying that stirs your spirit up.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Why? Because that's what God made you and me to do.
Yes, right.
He made us to operate that way. He made us to not be moved by what we see or what we feel. And to affirm life and victory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And provision.
Yes.
And success. And every word of God. Affirm that it is true and happening in our life. So there was no water. Verse 2. Wherefore this is Exodus 17:2. The people did chide with Moses. And they said, give us water that we may drink. Well, that's unreasonable. Is Moses a well? I mean, what? Right? I mean, is he got some secret water reservoir out here that he's not telling anybody about? Unreasonable. And if they had just stopped for a moment and tried to be reasonable, they would have realized pressure in this man. And how many think they should be thankful for this man?
Yes.
Huh? This man left his family when he was 80 years old, went back to Egypt, where his picture is on the wanted poster in the post office. Went in before Pharaoh, uninvited. That's how you die. That's how you get your head cut off, right? And he didn't just do it once. He did it over and over, putting his life in his hand, so to speak. I mean, and every time, this complaining, blaming bunch messed up. And there were multiple times God said, get out of my way. Just step aside. I am going to start over with you. And Moses would intercede for them. Mm-hmm. And plead for them. And say, oh God, you know, you've forgiven them all the way from Egypt till now. Have mercy again. And the Lord would say, I've heard you. I've forgiven. Should they be thankful for this man?
Yes,
huh?
Yes.
Supporting him, believing in him, praying for him. But they're not. Totally unthankful. In fact, not long before this, they had, after this, and if you put both passages together, they said, we got to get new leadership. We got to get somebody, you know, we don't want this Moses and Aaron. We got to go back to Egypt. We need to get new leadership. And you know, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, they rose up after this and they said, look, God's talked to us too. And who are you? Who lifted yourself up? They're treating Moses and Aaron just how they feel about God. Whether they realize it or not. And God's taking it personally. If you read other chapters here in this same passage, chapter 16 and other places, it talks about that Moses told him, he said, who are we that you're murmuring against us? He said, God hears your murmurings and you're murmuring against him. Mm-hmm. And then a few verses later, the Lord spoke up and said, I hear your murmurings that you're murmuring against me. Mm-hmm. See, they thought they just had a problem with Moses. God says, no, you're talking about me. You're speaking against me. And that is a big characteristic of unbelief. It is unthankful. It is unappreciative. How many think you should always remember the people that God used to lead you to Him? Huh? Whoever preached to you where you got saved, where you got born again, where you came and got filled with the Spirit or healed or delivered, or whoever has ministered into you and you got answers and you got built up and you got free, should you always be thankful for that? And see, in being thankful for them, you're not just focusing on human beings. Where did they come from? Who sent them? Who gave them that? You are being thankful to God.
Amen.
By appreciating them.
Yes, sir.
Which is why he tells us to honor such. Notice he goes on to say, they're saying, give us water. And Moses said, why chide with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? The reason I'm reading this is because 1 Corinthians 10, we just got through reading, says they were destroyed by these snakes because they tempted Christ. They tempted the Lord. And this is an example of what tempting the Lord looks like and sounds like. Verse 3, the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses. And they said, why is this that you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? God himself really got fed up with hearing this all the time. I mean, just in our studies, I'm tired of hearing it. Aren't you? Right? It makes you want to go, psh, psh, would you shut up? You know? Because every time there's an issue, every time there's a problem, same thing. We're all going to die out here. You brought us out here to die. You brought us out here to kill us. It ain't funny. And Moses cried to the Lord. He said, what shall I do to this people? They'd be almost ready to stone me. Now skip down to verse 7. He called the name of the place Massah and Meribah. And you'll find references to these names and what happened here in several places, other places in the Bible. Because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? That, reason I took the time to come here, that gives you real insight into what it means tempt the Lord. Testing Him. Can you see it's a challenge? Right? And there's no trust in it. There's no respect in it. There's no thanksgiving. It's prove to me. Why should God have to prove something to you? Who are you? Right? Silly, ignorant person. Do you not realize? His gravity is keeping your feet on the ground. He's giving you next breath. You couldn't have a single thought if he didn't make the synapses work in your brain. Right?
Yes.
And how dare you stand up there with your neck stiff and go, well, God, are you here or not? That, my brother, sister, is called tempting the Lord. And the scripture tells us, and the scripture's right, that is how and why all these snakes got in the camp. Are there any types for us today? Are there still serpents and scorpions around? Are there still wrong and evil spirits? Do they still want to get to you and hurt you? And still kill and destroy? Is God still able to keep a hedge about us and protect us? But can you remove it by doing foolish things, disrespectful things like this, challenging the Lord? Go back with me to Numbers, the 21st chapter, this episode that we're looking at. They tempted Christ and were destroyed of the serpents. Why don't you just go ahead and say it while we're on there. Says, I'm not going to do this. I am never doing this. By the grace of God. Right? What does that mean? Now, you know, unbelievers who don't know anything at all, if they say in sincerity, God, if you're real, you know, show me something, He's merciful. He responds to, He knows people's heart.
Yes.
Now, if they're just being defiant and blaspheming, nah, He won't respond to that. But if there's any sincerity, right, He's merciful. But for people like you and me, huh, that God has answered 10,000 prayers, right, and done so many things, for us to ever shake a fist and go, where are you, God? That's not okay. Challenging and saying, you know, are you here or not? Prove it. Show us. Mm-mm. What are we talking about? That's how all the snakes wound up in the camp, according to 1 Corinthians 10. So in Numbers 21, read it again. Verse 4, the people's soul was much discouraged because of the way. Verse 5, they said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? You tired of hearing that too? There's no bread. There's no water. Our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent, like we said, that word send or sent is also translated loose. Loose or let go. Fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. And much of the people of Israel died. Now we looked in Luke yesterday's class where the Lord said, you know, that tower that fell on those people and killed them. He said, do you think they were worse people than anybody else in that area because that tower fell on them? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. What does that mean? Well, were these people at the wrong place at the wrong time? You could say that. People say, well, you know, God could have protected them, so he didn't. So he must have had some purpose in the tower falling on them. And people say, well, you know, why did God do that? You know, because they want to say, God, everything that happens is God. And so if it happened, it must be God. If it didn't happen, must not have been His will. Everything that happens is God. And so it must have been God's unknowable, mysterious will and plan for the tower to fall on them and kill them. So God, why'd you do that? And why'd you kill them? Or why didn't, you know, this? You're asking the wrong questions. Wrong questions. You're starting with the wrong premise is the problem. No, the issue is, if you knew God, you'd know that could never be His perfect will. Hmm? So that tower falling on those people and killing them, that was not God's plan. Hmm? You say, well, it had to be. No, you're wrong. No. All kind of things are happening down here that's not God and not the plan of God. What is obvious is that they didn't have His protection. So that's the question. Why didn't they have it? And what did the Lord say the solution was?
Repent.
That's, and he's telling the whole crowd there, He said, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. What is He saying? Unless you repent and are walking with God and listening to Him, you're exposed. You're vulnerable. The world's a dangerous place.
Yes.
And without His protection, it's open season on you. Now go with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy. And notice this, because, like I said, people keep asking the wrong questions. They keep emphasizing the wrong areas. In Deuteronomy, after, you find it both in Deuteronomy 1 and you find it in Numbers 14. When the spies went into the land and came back and gave the report, and the people refused to go and fight, then the Lord said, okay, get back into the wilderness. And you're not going in. What you have said is going to happen. Well, then, when the Lord told them, okay, now go back into the wilderness, they said, no, we're here. We're going to go in. See, he said, go in. They said, no, we can't. He said, all right, turn around, go back in the desert. They said, no, now we're going in. Not funny. But they were a obstinate, the scripture said, people. In Deuteronomy 1, verse 42, toward the end of the chapter here, Moses is recounting what happened. He said, the Lord said to me, when they said, no, we're here, and we've messed up, and we've sinned, and so now we're going in. Is this repentance? See, this is a significant question. Well, yeah, they weren't going in, but now they're saying, yeah, but he just got through telling them, go to the wilderness, right? So no, this is not repentance. This is another act of rebellion. They're doing the opposite of what he told them to do. So he said, the Lord said to me, say to them, don't go up, don't fight. Because why? Help me out, class. Because why? I am not among you. And if he's not among them, what would happen? You'll be smitten by your enemies. Why do bad things happen? Even the good people, God's people? God's not with them in that situation. That's the question. Why not? Well, it wouldn't be God's failure. Somebody's not listening. Right? Somebody disobeyed. Somebody ignored. Whatever the case might be. We've all made mistakes. What's your salvation? What did Jesus say? Unless you repent. Right? And what did 2 Peter say? God's not willing that any should perish, but that what? But that all should come to repentance. I mean, when you're talking about heaven or hell, how do I miss hell? Repent. Is that right? Believe God. How do I stay safe from all the devices of the enemy down here? Exact same thing. Repent when you mess up and believe. Right? Believe, and when you do, God has every right to keep you and protect you and do things for you that he's not able to do for everybody else on the planet. And our time's up again. Say it out loud. I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome the world by faith. I am strong in faith, giving glory to God. Well, there's more to see. Come back tomorrow and let's delve further into this. Remember, we got a bunch of snakes in the camp. We got to get them out of there. Get them set free. Get to a victory part of this. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School. I've got the victory
living inside. Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390